This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1 through 4, "It is expedient for me doubtless to glory. I'll come to visions and revelations of the Lord." Paul said, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years. Can you imagine something? Look here, folks. Can you imagine something happened to you and it was 14 years before you could talk about it? That's what happened to Paul. 14 years before I could talk about it. "Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. But such a one I was called up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, but God knows. How that he was called up into paradise. And I heard, what I heard was unspeakable words." It was just unspeakable words, "which is not lawful for a man to utter." Let us pray. God, I bow my head in your presence. I cannot. You never said I could. You can. You always said you would. Speak to me and through me. And for all you do, I'm going to praise you. For we pray this prayer with a gracious heart. For we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about earthly wisdom from a heavenly journey. Earthly wisdom from a heavenly journey. There was this young couple that were engaged, and they were excited about the wedding that was coming up, and they were going actually to have the groom fitted for the tuxedo, but something tragically happened. They were in an automobile accident and both were killed. It was so sad, but as I say, they were a wonderful couple. They were believers, so they went to heaven. They went to heaven. They got to heaven and they saw Peter one day, and they said, "Peter, we want to tell you something. While we was down on earth, we wanted to get married. We wanted to tie the knot, but we were tragically killed, and we just wondered, could we maybe get married here?" And Peter said, "Let me get back with you. Let me get back with you." A little time passed, and a year or two, and they said, "Pete, we just wanted to get married." And they said, Pete said, "Well, let me get back. I'll get back with you, and we'll work it out." 5 years actually passed, and they saw Peter. Peter said, "I've got great news. You can get married." They said, "Well, Peter, we've been thinking about it. We just wondering, we don't know how everything is here in heaven, but what if it don't work out? Is there some kind of recourse? Is there some kind of, what if it, is there a divorce? What if it don't work out?" Peter said, "You got to understand something." He said, "I want you to get married." And he said, "It's taken me 5 years just to locate a preacher." And he said, "What do you think the hopes are of me finding an attorney?" Amen. I heard about a preacher that stood up in the pulpit one day and he said, "All that want to go to heaven, stand up." Well, that's a no-brainer. Of course, everybody stood up. And then the preacher said, "Everybody that wants to go to hell, stand up." One little boy stood up. And the pastor said, "Son, you must have misunderstood me. I said, everybody that wants to go to hell, stand up. Why would you stand up?" He said, "Preacher, I didn't want you standing alone." Amen. I didn't want you standing alone. Well, I want to talk to you about earthly wisdom from a heavenly journey. And there's three primary things that I want us to see in this text. The first thing I want you to see is the vision of Paul. The vision of Paul. See, in verse 2, I want you to see something. Paul says, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years. Now, Paul is speaking in the third person. But I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, he's speaking about himself. We know he's talking about himself, especially when we get down to verse 7. He said, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years. I cannot tell. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell." What does that mean, Pastor Benny? What he was saying is, I don't know if this was an in-the-body experience. I don't know if it was an out-of-the-body experience. All I know is I was caught up to the third heaven. Most biblical scholars believe that this happened actually in Acts chapter 14. When Paul was stoned at Lystra and left for dead, they believe that it happened between 42 and 44 AD, that Paul had this experience that he was caught up, literally, ladies and gentlemen. He says, I was caught up to the third heaven. Now you got to understand something. When the Bible speaks of three heavens, it's not talking about different levels for different people as the Mormon and Jehovah Witness teach. It's talking about three heavens in the fact there's the atmospheric heaven. The atmospheric heaven. That's where the birds are. That's where the clouds are. That's where the planes are. The atmospheric heaven. That's level one. But then there's the second level of heaven. That's the astronomic heaven. That's the astronomic level. That's where the planets are. That's where the moon is. That's where the stars are. Atmospheric, level one. Astronomic, level two. But then we get to the third heaven. That's the angelic heaven. What is that, Pastor? I'll tell you what it is. It's the dwelling place of God. It's the dwelling place of God. And he said, I went there. I went to heaven. I went to the dwelling place of God. By the way, folks, this is all I'm going to say. He didn't write a book about the out-of-body experience. He didn't go on Dr. Phil or Oprah. He just said what I experienced. It's not even lawful for me to talk about. But I started thinking about this. This man who wrote this to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, after he wrote to the Corinthian church, he wrote the book of Romans and he wrote the book of Philippians. After he had this experience, what did he say? Here's what he said, folks, in Romans 8, 18. Get this. He said, for I reckon, you tell me right there he wasn't from the South. Amen? Amen. Yeah, sure he was. He was from the South. Look what he said. He said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He said, folks, let me tell you something. I've been there and it's worth it. I've been there and it pays to live for Jesus, but he said, oh goodness, the retirement is out of this world. Amen? Amen. See, after he went, he wrote Philippians 1 and 21 that says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. After he went to the dwelling place of God, he wrote Philippians 1 and 23 that says, for I'm in a strait betwixt, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Somebody said, Pastor, what's heaven like? I'm just telling you from a man who's been there. He said, it's incredible. He said, it's incredible. The best way I would describe it is, I really believe this. There was a golfer by the name of Arnold Palmer. Arnold was a great golfer in his day. And Arnold gave lessons to the king of Saudi Arabia. True story. He sent his private jet over and flew Arnold to Saudi. And Arnold worked on the logistics of golf. The logistics of golf. With the king. Somebody said, Brother Benny, do you play golf? If you could do it in 20 minutes, I'd do it. Amen? But worked on it. And it was a wonderful, par excellence, just wonderful trip. And Arnold Palmer said, I was getting ready to return to the United States. And the king of Saudi said, I want to give you a gift. And Arnold said, no, you've been too nice. I know. But he said he was persistent. And Arnold said, well, it may sound strange to you, but I collect golf clubs. And the king said, I'll send you one. And Arnold said, I got on that plane and I started thinking about, will it be a driver? will it have a gold handle? Will it be a putter with rubies in it? What kind of golf club is this going to be? He said, I was so excited. And he said, about 10 days to 2 weeks passed. And he said, I got a certified letter from Saudi Arabia. And he said, I opened the certified letter up and it was a deed to a 500-acre golf club. And when I heard that story, ladies and gentlemen, I thought about heaven. And I thought about 1 Corinthians 2:9 and what it says. It says, I have not seen, neither's ear heard, neither's it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. See, I think when we're thinking about heaven, we're thinking about a golf club. But heaven is really a golf club. Amen? It's really a golf club. See, he said, I went there. I saw it. It's incredible. The vision of Paul. But I want you to see something else. I want you to see the vexation of Paul. The vexation of Paul. Now wait. Verse 7 says this. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. Look. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul said, wait. I went to heaven, and I came back, and so I wouldn't become arrogant, so I wouldn't become haughty, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. To keep me humble, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. I want to tell you a couple of things. First of all, I want to tell you what we don't know. I want to tell you what we don't know. Because a lot of times people will say, Pastor Benny, what was his thorn in the flesh? Somebody said it was his grief because he persecuted the church. And it was all the guilt that he dealt with. Somebody said, Pastor Benny, it was his enemies in ministry because he said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. And in Numbers 13:55, it refers to the enemies of the children of Israel as thorns. I don't believe it was either of those. This is what I believe, folks. He had a thorn in the flesh. I believe it had to do with his physical body because it was in his flesh. You say, well, what could that be? Somebody said it was malaria. Somebody said it was migraine headaches. I don't know, but I know Galatians 4:15-16, he said to the church at Galatia, when I first came to you, you would have given me your eyes. He wrote once about what a large letter I've written you. Apparently, Paul had problems with his eyes. And he said, now I'm your enemy just because I tell you the truth. Here's what I'm saying, folks. To be honest with you, we don't know what his thorn was. We just don't know. But this is what I do know. Every one of us have thorns. Every one of us have thorns. How many of you would say, Pastor, I've got a thorn? Raise your hand. Yes. If it's seated right beside you, keep it up. This is what we don't know. We really don't know what it is. But always remember this, folks. God's silences are significant. Somebody said, I know everything about the Bible. You know everything about the Bible? That's amazing to me when only 52 days of the life of Christ are recorded. It's amazing that you would know everything about Jesus when we only have 52 days of record of his life. It's amazing that you would know everything about Jesus. See, here's what I want you to see. God's silences are significant because here's what I know. If we knew what it was, we might put a greater emphasis on one struggle above another. We might put a greater emphasis on physical than emotional. We might put a greater emphasis on financial than relational. We may put a greater emphasis on mental than occupational. Here's the message. We all have thorns. But we don't know what it was. That's what we don't know. But get this, folks. Here's what we do know. First of all, it was painful. You say, what do you mean, Pastor Benny? It was painful. Well, it was a thorn. It was a thorn. But not only was it painful, it was needful. Verse 7, he said, lest I should be exalted above measure. You say, Pastor Benny, I've got a thorn. I know it's painful. But God says it's also needful. It's also needful. Barbara prays for me every day. And she's been praying for me for decades. And if you called her and said, Barbara, did you pray for Benny today? She does. I most certainly did. And if you said, what is the one thing that you pray for him every day? Folks, she's been doing this for 30-something years. She said, this is what I pray for him every day. God, keep Benny humble. Because if you can't, if he doesn't stay humble, you can't use him. If he ever gets to thinking it's him instead of you, you can't use him. But as long as you keep him humble, you can use him. Here's what I want you to understand something, folks. God is in two places. You say, I learned something today when I went to church. Yes, you did. You learned that God is in two places. You say, well, I want to know where those places are. Hold on, I'm going to tell you. Isaiah 57 verse 15 says, God's in two places. He's in the heavens and he's in the humble. Only two places. God's in the heavens and God's in the humble. I see the vision of Paul. I see the vexation of Paul. But get this. I see the victory of Paul. I see the victory of Paul. Martin Luther said this. He said, you must know God as an enemy before you can know him as a friend. You must know God as an enemy before you can know him as a friend. Paul said, I realized that Satan buffeted me in verse 7. He said in verse 7, I realize that there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. I want you to understand something, folks. The enemy can do nothing unless God allows it. All power is ordained of God. And he said, get this. I was given this thorn, but God allowed it. I was given this struggle, but God allowed it. And he said, I finally reached the point that I realized the thorn was a gift. I reached the point in my life, I matured enough to realize what was painful was also needful. And many times, ladies and gentlemen, we don't realize what's painful in your life is also needful. Because no pain, no gain. What's painful is also needful. He said it was a gift, and it taught me some things. It taught me seven things, and I'll give them to you. It taught me to value spiritual life above physical life. It taught me that my spiritual life is more important than my physical life. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:8, bodily exercise profits little. Now, I'm not speaking against going to the gym. I'm not speaking against exercising. Sometimes I'm in the gym and I'll be on the treadmill. I don't understand this. I don't understand why we've got all those mirrors in the gym. And I'll see those guys over. I said, Brother Benny, you lift weights? I would if they weren't so heavy. And I'll see those guys over there. Look, those guys over there lifting weights. And then I'll look over and they'll be by the mirror going. And I just want to yell out, bodily exercise profits little. Paul said, let me tell you what it taught me. It taught me my spiritual life is more important than my physical life. Hey folks, can I come up real close? And parents, I preach a month here, so I won't go here. But your children's spiritual life is more important than your children's physical life. You won't miss having them at a practice. You won't miss having them at a game. But it's not a big deal if they miss church. Come on, folks. I listen. Hey, wait. Paul said you would have given me your eyes. But now I'm your enemy just because I tell you the truth. Don't make an enemy out of me just because I'm telling you the truth. Your spiritual life is far more important than your physical life because your spiritual life is what lasts forever. Let me tell you the second thing he said I've learned. It taught me to be prayerful. See, I got this thorn in the flesh, and you know what he said in verse 8? He said, I besought the Lord 3 times. He said, I started praying about it. Let me tell you what thorns will do. Thorns will motivate you to be prayerful. I thank God for the bitter things. They've been a friend to grace. They've driven me from the path of ease to storm the secret place. I'll tell you the third thing. He said it taught me humility. It taught me humility. He said, I had this great experience. I went to heaven. But so I wouldn't get so exalted, so I wouldn't strut sitting down, God gave me a thorn because God wanted to teach me humility. Look here, folks. You want to lead like Jesus? Jesus never said, I am love. John said that about Jesus. Jesus never said, I am holy. Peter said that about Jesus. The only time Jesus described himself was when he said, I am meek and lowly. You want to lead like Jesus? You want to be like Jesus? You're meek and lowly. He said the thorn. It taught me humility, but it taught me compassion. It taught me compassion. Because see, he said, I got that thorn. And he said, then I started having compassion for people that I never had compassion for before. And then the fifth thing he said, that thorn taught me, it kept me usable. It kept me usable. I wanted my life to count, and it was the pain. He said, I went from paradise to pain, but he said, the pain is what God used in my life. Let me tell you something, folks. The pain in your life is what God will use if you will let him. He'll take that test, and he'll turn it into a testimony. You just want to make sure after the test, you've got a testimony and not just the moanies. Amen? Listen, he'll take that mess and he'll turn it into a message. He'll take that hurt and he'll turn it into a halo. God uses the pain. God's used the pain in my life. The book, Defy the Odds, presently is over 30,000 copies. And people have said to me, the book helped me so much. And I said, praise God. My pain was somebody else's gain. God used the pain of my life to help other people. Let me tell you the sixth thing I see it. It taught him God's grace is sufficient. It's in verse 9. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said, God, take the thorn away. Look, look. God didn't take the thorn away. He didn't get what he wanted. But he got what he needed. And as the thorn got greater, the grace of God got greater. And I want you to know, when you're going through something, when you're dealing with a thorn, if you'll lean into God, as the pain gets greater, the grace of God will get greater. And he said there was the last thing that it taught me. It taught me that God demonstrates his strength in our weaknesses. That God demonstrates his strength in our weaknesses. Look, I would have thought, folks, that he would have wanted to talk about going to heaven. But he said, I'm not going to glory in that. He said in verse 5 and in verse 9 and in verse 10, I'm going to glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me. Because when I am weak, then I am strong. In verse 10, he said, therefore, look, get this, folks. I take pleasure in infirmities. Wait. I take pleasure in my physical suffering. I take pleasure in reproaches. In mental suffering. I take pleasure in necessities, economic suffering. I take pleasure in persecution, social suffering. I take pleasure in distresses, emotional suffering. Because he said, for when I'm weak, then I am strong. And God takes the struggles, and in my weakness, he proves and shows his strength. I wish you could have been in the gym with me early this morning. I was in the gym this morning about 5 o'clock. Nobody was in there when I first went in. And I started singing. Wish you could have been there. I started singing Fanny Crosby. Do you know Fanny Crosby actually wrote 9,000 hymns? Fanny Crosby wrote so many hymns, when you would read a hymnal, she had to use pen names because every page in the hymnal would have been Fanny Crosby, Fanny Crosby, Fanny Crosby. This blind lady, what happened when she was a small baby? Her eyes became inflamed. And they took her to the doctor. And the actual doctor was out of town. And a man was impersonating a doctor. He wasn't even a real doctor. probably like some we go to today. But he was impersonating a doctor. And he mistreated her. He mistreated the inflammation in her eyes. And because of that, she was blind her entire life. And they said to Fanny Crosby, "Aren't you bitter? Aren't you angry?" She said, "No. I'm not angry over my thorn." She said, "You know, if God had given me sight, if God had given me sight," she said, "I might have got distracted by the things of this old world. I might have got my eyes on the things of this old world. I've just learned to embrace the thorn." And she said, "You know what? If God had given me sight, no doubt I would have seen unpleasant things with my eyes." And she said, "I never had to see those because I was blind." She said, "I've learned just to embrace the thorn. Just to embrace the thorn. Just to say, God, I'm going to live for you no matter what." John the Baptist was in prison and he said, "Go ask Jesus, is he really the Christ or should we look for another?" And Jesus said, "You just tell John, blessed is he who's not offended in me. Blessed is he when it don't work out the way we want it to work out. But we say, God, I'm just going to embrace the thorn. I'm just going to trust you. Because you're doing all things for my good, even when I don't understand it. I'm just going to embrace the thorn." So Fanny wrote 9,000 hymns and this week I went to Boston, Massachusetts with my daughter. While I was there, I went to Northfield, studied D.L. Moody. Fanny would come to D.L. Moody's crusades. And D.L. Moody would say, "Fanny, I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to pray that God will give you sight." And she would say, "D.L., you hush up. Don't you pray that prayer. I've been blind all my life. And I want the first thing that these eyes to see, Jesus, the Lamb of God. I've just learned to embrace the storm." Justin, I wish you could have been with me this morning. Because I was singing that old Fanny Crosby song. "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God. I don't know the rest of it." Shame on you. You're clapping because I don't know the rest of it. The vision of Paul. He said, "Yeah, I went to heaven." The vexation of Paul. "I was given a thorn, but I learned just to embrace it. I just learned to embrace it, make lemonade out of my lemon, And I learned there's victory.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.